We didn't get to that time yet. That will be in the end of time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the lives of all of the scholars, so the people will then start following juhal, ignorant people. But brother, we shouldn't despair. I mean, just because a certain scholar's name became famous, well, quite naturally they would become famous the older they grow, because they're the more work that they're doing. But that doesn't mean that there are not people who are on the same footing or even maybe more knowledgeable than this particular famous name. And with some of the famous names also, they became famous because there was a certain environment that was conducive for them to work. But there are many scholars who are very knowledgeable who are obscure. Nobody knows about them. But there are gold mines of Islamic science. The awareness, the political awareness of Muslims is improving. I mean, 10 years ago, go to Muslim countries and discuss with them a political issue, and you'll see the difference between now and then. So awareness is improving, interest in Sharia is increasing, and these are the indicators that we should use. Just because the Muslim world is attacked more now doesn't mean that our situation is worse. I think that's, in fact, a positive sign. Because, as they say, no one knew Musa better than Fir'aun. No one knew Musa better than Fir'aun. While everybody in Egypt was saying, this is just a small band, they're not any danger to us, Fir'aun was saying, no, this is a very dangerous man. Fir'aun knew very early on that this man could spell his end. So he started attacking Musa earlier than all of his generals and leaders. But later on, they started picking up and realizing that Fir'aun was right. This interest that we see in the Islamic world is a sign of something. That the enemy realizes that there's something serious going on in this area. 20 years ago, open the news, you would rarely hear anything about Islam or anything about a Muslim country. We were in the corner of the world. We were the backwater of the world. Nobody cared about us. At all. Now there is no channel that you can turn on in the whole world but they are going to be talking about Muslims or Islam, positively or negatively. That's not the issue. The issue is that this area, the Muslim world, and the Muslim people are gaining a lot of interest in the world. So that's a sign that Muslims are changing. And it's also telling us that Shaitan is starting to see, Iblis is seeing these changes, so he's starting to hint to his soldiers to keep on moving. Don't forget that our real enemy is Iblis. And he's the one who's running the show. It's not whom you think. It is Iblis who's pulling the strings among his army, his enemies of Al-Ins. So he's obviously, he has a lot of experience. He's been around for a very long time. Iblis has been doing this for thousands of years. So the cumulative experience that he has is more than any one of us. And he's been doing the same thing again and again and again. And if he has experience dealing with Anbiya, don't you think he'll have experience dealing with us? Yeah. This is a very important question, and we should all be asking this question. But the answer cannot be given by one individual. This is a collective effort that needs to be done by the Muslims in the West. And only the Muslims in the West. Nobody will be able. I mean, if you have the brightest and greatest minds in the Muslim world, they will not know the ins and outs of the details of the situation of the Muslims in the West like the Muslims in the West do. This is something that needs to be collectively. It needs to be studied collectively by the Muslims living in the West, by the leaders of the Muslim organizations, associations, and groups in the West. They need to come together and talk about their future. The whole world is discussing this post-September 11th era. Shouldn't we be talking about it since it affects us more than anybody else? I don't think that these topics have been given fair attention. In fact, we, the Muslims in the West, have been shying away from tackling issues that we deem as sensitive or controversial. For example, the issue of hijrah from the West. The issue of living in the West. What is the hukum of living in the West? Is it allowed or not? We have tended to avoid talking about this topic because we don't want to get into the controversy of it. So we just ignore it. But brothers, eventually we'll have to face it. Sooner or later, we'll have to discuss these issues. It is about time that our leaders come together and discuss the future of the Muslims in the West, and then, based upon the predictions, establish a plan. Because our predictions of the future would determine how the plan would look like. If, for example, we predict that Muslims will continue in the West, and they will strive, and Islam will dig its roots deeper in the West, and it will flourish and grow, our plan would be different than if we predict that the Muslims in the West are going to come to an end. The plan would be different. So we need to come together and discuss what do we think will happen in the future. And as Muslims, we are better suited than anyone else in the world to talk about predictions in the future, because we have predictions and we have the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about future events. So at least we have a ballpark of where things are heading. And that is something that hasn't been done. And it needs to be done as soon as possible before it's too late, if it's not already too late. But I wouldn't venture and give suggestions on my own, because this is something that is, I think it's about time that we start discussing things in a collective form rather than individuals leading us in different directions. Every person shoots things from the top of their head and take with them a group of Muslims to one direction. Somebody else is taking them to this direction. We shouldn't be left to the whims of individuals. We should come together, deliberate on an issue, come out with some common understanding, and then if we have differences, fine. There is room for differences. In fact, if the angels have differences, we will have differences. Angels have had differences in opinion, let alone us. And that's why we need to also promote the fiqh of councils. Because the body of knowledge now is so large that it's impossible to be encompassed by one mind. I mean, Ibn Taymiyyah, 800 years ago, was able to study many or most of the sciences of his time. He could study Sharia, in addition to study medicine, study astronomy, study chemistry. He could do it. But now, if we had Ibn Taymiyyah live with us today, he won't be able to learn all of the sciences that exist, because the body of knowledge is so huge and large, it's impossible for one human being to hold it all. Therefore, we have to have specialization. So you have somebody specialized in Sharia working with a council. When it comes to issues of fiqh relating to economics, you would have to have experts in economics and finance and business. When you're dealing with issues of politics, you have to have experts in politics. I mean, we can't leave everything to the same person. The world of international politics today is so vast and deep and filled with conspiracies and fine line details that for it alone you would need to have councils, committees to work on it. When we're dealing with a new financial contract, you would have to have experts, because all of the details involved in contracts. Just a simple issue like a contract needs to have an expert to study it. You have to have a lawyer to look into it. So how can we leave everything to certain individuals just giving us fatwa on every thing possible? And also, as Muslims, we have to get rid of the naivety of thinking that one person can give us a fatwa on everything and tell us what to do. And I've seen brothers in some parts of the Muslim world, the expert says something and the sheikh says something, yani they would follow what the sheikh says religiously, even though it's an issue of opinion, while the expert is so showing solid facts. And we would neglect that and just follow what the sheikh said, because he's a sheikh, he should know everything. So this is a very naive outlook to things, but alhamdulillah, it's starting to evaporate and vanish. But jazakallah khair for raising up this issue, because I hope that at least by discussing this we can garner some interest and brothers come together and deliberate on the subject and come out with some suggestions.
I'm afraid we have to close it there. Okay, jazakallah khair. So that's a good place to stop. We'd like to thank our Sheikh for his wonderful reminder and thought-provoking ideas and the importance of having a vision and strategy and a plan for Muslims in the West. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our Shaykh and to bless his life and his efforts and enable him to continue serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to enable us also to guide us to what is the best course of action for all of us as individuals and families and communities. وصلى الله تعالى على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، استغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خير.